so much, Brittany and Shabbat. That was wonderful. Wonderful. I was thinking about just the title of this message. I felt like the Lord had laid on my heart. And then that song, and just everything, how it ties together. I don't know why I get so amazed at amazing God and how He just brings things together. The title of my message is, What is True Worship Today? What is true worship? And when I would ask you that, you know, there's various opinions. People would say different, you know, we all have opinions about the music, about different things that we think that true worship is. But I hope today that we're going to see something different in God's Word about what true worship is, and that we can be changed by it. When Sandy and I lived in Youngsville, which is North Raleigh area, we lived at the end of the cul-de-sac, and over on our left-hand side was a single mom named Simone. She had a teenage daughter, Arabia, and a son about, KJ was his name, he's about 8 or 10 years old. And as a single mom, a lot of times she'd have me to come over and crank a lawnmower or pick up something heavy, and she's needing help, and we wanted to help her because I feel like, you know what, you need a minister right where God plants you. That's your mission field, no matter where it is, right or left side. And so when we'd go over and we'd talk to her, and I asked her about her relationship to Christ, and she was a professing Christian and often would praise Christ when we would go and help her. I'd shoot ball with KJ, and I'd teach her. I'd go out and shoot my bow, and he'd want to come over, and so I got him a little bow and just spent time with him. You know, it's tough being a single mom. Well, one day she called me over, and she was very distraught, and she said, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay, what's wrong? And she said, I just struggle. She said, I desire to be a good Christian, to live in obedience, but it just seems like I can't. And she said, I go to church, I sing in the choir, I hang out with Christian friends. And she said, I try to get, you know, she said, I'm trying to see what God wants, you know. And I'm saying, now, I mean, she said, this lack of obedience in my life, and she said, I just don't know how to overcome it. I don't know about you, but it resonated. We've all been there. And so I asked her, I said, okay, Simone, what is the answer to your question? How is it that you're trying to solve this problem? And she said, well, I go to church. She said, I do sing in the choir. She said, I hang out with Christian friends. I try to get as much as I can out of the things of God. I said, that's your problem. That's your problem. You see, it's not about how much we can get. Church is not about coming and worship. It's not about what we can get from God. It's what we can give. Total surrender and sacrifice. That is the means to true worship. Not what we can get, but what can we give? And I hope as we came today, it wasn't about what we're going to get out of church, but what is it that we can give by being here? It's not by coincidence you're here today. God has brought us together as a body of believers for a purpose. What is it that He desires from us? And what is it that we can give? And through giving, you know what? We receive so much more as true worshipers. Well, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Paul is addressing this very theme. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you would stand by the and let's reverence God's Word, the reading of God's Word. Romans 12. 1 and 2. Paul says to the Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We desire to be true worshipers. Lord, that's really the answer to the world's problems. If we were true worshipers, God, think what this world would be like. And so we thank you for your word. Thank you for your guidance. Lord, you have burned this into my heart. Lord, this is just an off point of what you've shown me, my fallacies and how wrong I look at things. I thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray today you'll just hide me behind the cross. Give out what you've put in for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Paul in Romans, his magnum opus, by the way, you cannot plumb the depths of Romans, the book of Romans. You just can't.
It's hard to grasp, just unfathomable how great a work. In fact, I heard this just this very week. And people, like I said, those things that God puts together, that a lot of the law firms use Romans as an argument, as a practice, how Paul used his argument on the grace and faith of God as practice, showing what a proper argument looks like. And I'm thinking, wow. You cannot tap the gem mine of Romans. And he spent 11 chapters here. He spent 11 chapters showing them about the grace gifts of God. And I love, he shows it, you know what, he gets it down, he tells a Jew, he said, Jew, it's not got nothing to do with being Abraham's children or keeping the law or praying. He said, that doesn't work. He says, you Gentiles, you know, we're all grafted in. He said, it's all about grace and we're all lost without Christ. He boils it down to that. And that's the truth here today. We're all lost without Christ. And he's showing them that all these things they had put stock in the past were of no value except for the excellency of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he spent 11 chapters proving this out, and he gets to 12, and he makes that turn, and he's showing this is what true worship looks like. And I want us to break that down today in these two chapters. I want you to see first, I got three elements of true worship today. The first element is true worship remembers. Look at 1A there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I like one of the translations says, in view of God's mercy. And he says, I beseech you, I urge you, I appeal to you. First, he's giving us a correct motivation. He's saying, remember the things of God. Remember how the grace of God in your life, the mercies of God. How many of us could spend the rest of the service standing up about the grace and the mercies of God in our life this week? The fact that we're here today is the grace of God. The fact that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, I don't know about you, but that's a miracle. Oh, you have a miracle standing right here. Why? Because I was on my way to hell without Jesus. Didn't care about church or the people of God or other people. Just cared about myself. But when the Holy Spirit of God quickened my heart and showed me that I was a sinner, I became a new creature in Christ. Just like anybody here, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, you're lost. If it's just a cultural Christianity to you, that you're just like Simone, you try so hard, but obedience never comes, it might be that you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Because when the Holy Spirit of God comes in, He quickens our heart. He makes us a new creature. And He teaches us His ways through His Word. And we desire to serve Him. Does that mean we're perfect? Far from it. But we're saved. Saved. True worship remembers. It's a correct motivation. I love beseech there is the word paracleto, which is coming alongside it. And Paul's saying, I'm coming alongside you guys. I want you guys to understand that there's a proper way the inspiration of God in His life was showing them that this is brothers in Rome. And He's coming alongside to encourage them about proper worship and how to live their life. Once He's used 11 chapters to show them, look, you ain't no use in putting no stock in anything else but Jesus. And when we do, this is what it looks like. We remember the things of God. And it's for the brethren. What did he say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren. A lost person cannot worship God. Why? They don't understand the mercies of God. They don't understand the things of God. You've been in our house, visiting, or even out in the communities when you run in that person that don't have a clue and you're talking to them about the goodness of God, it looks like they got a glaze. Like their eyes are just glazed over. They don't even understand. And the Scripture says that it's hidden to the people of the world. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that has to quicken their heart and wake them up to show them, hey, we're all lost. And Paul's letting them know, man, true worship remembers the things of God. And he's talking to the brethren, the brothers and sisters of the faith. An unbeliever can't worship God. Never will be able to. Our motivation is remembering the mercy of God every day. We should get up every morning thanking God for this day. Not moaning and about, oh, well, you know what, tomorrow, Monday, I got to go to work. Oh, ball and chain. There's many a person that would love to be able to get up off the bed of affliction or have all their limbs that would like to get up and go to work tomorrow. Every day.
I love Paul's not only looking back at the last 11 chapters, but look at verse 33 and 36 of 11 there, and when he's finishing up, he said, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Man, he sums it up right there. Every breath, every beat of our heart, the strength to get up every day, the job that we have, the marriage that we have, the children that we have, all is glory unto God. I want us to see before this is over with that our worship is 24/7, 365. It's not just on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Wednesday evening, or whenever we meet. But it's 24/7, 365, and that's what Paul's going to show us. The mercies of God speak about his grace and his blessings and his grace gift discussed throughout this book. Such soul-saving mercies should motivate believers to complete dedication and worship. True worship is remembering what God has done and dedicating our soul to him. You see, when we understand, he said, Christ took my sin upon him on the cross. On the cross of Calvary, that God stepped out of the portals of heaven, came to this earth as a human being, walked it for 3 years, but took the sin, he worked it for 33 years, I'm sorry. But for 3 years, he preached the gospel and the message itself, took our sin upon on himself. On that cross, the wrath of God was poured upon him. For what purpose? That we would receive his righteousness. But when we accept that sacrifice for our sin, that we receive his righteousness, what a grace gift. Remembering that every day, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Christ walked to this earth, a perfect man, took my sin upon it, was died, buried, resurrected again. We should preach the gospel to ourselves every day. And you know what? It might brighten up our day. It'll make us worshipers. Why? It doesn't matter what you face, where you go, where you work, what hardships, we're worshipers. How we face those things is what glorifies God. It's our dedicating our souls to him. Well, not only does true worshipers remember, but next, true worship responds. Look at 1b. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. See, not only do we remember what God has done, but we respond by what? By our living and our actions. That you present, that's to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. And then he says, holy. Holy, what does that mean? God is holy, therefore you be holy. Peter tells us, man, he expects us to be holy. What is holy? Separated from the things of the world. Sanctified, set apart unto God's word and what God has given us and shown us, remembering, but also allowing that remembering to motivate us to live. I love that, which is your reasonable service. Actually, NIV says your spiritual act of worship. It's living it out every day. Is your worship. How are you worshiping? How are you worshiping? And then present, often used as a technical term for the priest, as placing that offering on the altar. We remember what the Lord has done, and we respond by living a life of worship. And by the way, this is an imperative in the Greek. It's not a if you want to, it's a command to live it out. Our bodies. Not only do we give our souls, but we give our bodies as what? As a living sacrifice. The Lord created our bodies for himself, and in his life he cannot work through anything else without our bodies. My eyes, my ears, my mouth, my feet. You see, most Christians approach worship and spirituality with a salad bar mentality. We pick and choose what we want. It's that same thing about getting. We come to get. You've heard me say before, we take our consumerism into the church. You know what? If I'm not getting here, I'll just go down to church down to the road. I'd like to see that scripture and verse, please. It doesn't have a class that I like. It's not reaching out to this. Please show me that scripture and verse. It's not there. That's our preferences. That's our consumerism that we brought into the church.
It's a salad bar mentality. Oh, I'll take this, I'll take this, or a buffet. Oh, I'll take this, I don't like that, I don't take this. And that's what we bring into the church. But Paul's saying in Romans here, we don't do that. Our true worship is remembering, and then it's responding. It's living it out before the Lord every day and for the world to see that it's the light that God says for us to be. There's no sanctification, no holy living apart from our bodies. We can't separate the two. We can't compartmentalize our life, act one way at church. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Act one way at church and then act another way out in the world. We'll look at that in our last point. But he says, present this body a holy and living sacrifice. You see, sacrifices of dead animals are no longer needed. And why is that? Because the Lamb of God was sacrificed in their place. We as the redeemed no longer have to offer an animal as for a sacrifice to sin, but the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for us every day, you know what we offer back to Him? Our lives, our soul, our body, the things that we do, the work that we go to, the school that we go to, the places that we see, the people that we see. It's a living sacrifice. And that's the amazing thing about a living sacrifice. It don't stay dead on the altar. It gets up and goes every day. And that's what God said for us to be. We remember and we respond with a living sacrifice. How are you worshiping? Well, true worship remembers. True worship responds. But I want you to see, lastly, true worship renews. Look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, not only do we give our soul there, number one, and our body in number two, but here at 3 in verse 2, where our mind is giving over to the Lord also. Soul, body, and mind. Not conforming to the image of this world. What does that look like? That's kind of getting back to what we was talking about. You know the old saying about Vegas, right? What do they say about Vegas? The tagline. What happens in Vegas does what? So you know what it's saying? It's saying you can go to Vegas, you want to cheat on your wife, no problem. Come back home, everything's fine. You want to lose your life saving, go to Vegas, nobody knows, just you. You want to party and get puked, nobody smell it. You make it back home, you're all right. That's kind of the mentality. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. If I'm not, I'll tell you what, I'm convinced that we as Christians live that way many times with church. What happens away from church stays away from church. I can live whatever way I want to. Sunday morning I clean up and come to church, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. Live like the devil all week. But as long as I come to church, I can check it off. I'm fine. Maybe even pay my tithe, sing in the choir, teach Sunday school. I'm okay now because I balanced out my week. It's that Vegas mentality. And there's nothing about a Christian that compartmentalizes their life. We live it daily. You want to have some true worship on Sunday morning, you've worshiped all week. You're just coming in, it's an outpouring of what you've been doing all week. And that's what Paul's telling us. We can't take the buffet mentality into our church, picking and choosing what we want. We live it every day, 24/7, 365. We live it out in our communities, in our workplace, in our schools. Everybody we come in contact with, we're real. We're real, real Christians. Does that mean we're not always going to respond to things right? Boy, that person cuts you off in traffic. If we're not careful, I'm serious, we're honest. We're real people too, but you know what? Then you get convicted. It's like, you know, I've asked my wife, how in the world does somebody not keep convicted with that? I'll say some little old half-truth and God beats me to death. How can somebody tell a lie like that? You ever did that? I'm so thankful that He takes me to the spiritual woodshed. He wears me out. I got every hickory branch pulled off between here and there. Here I go again. Because sometimes I respond with the wrong motives. Sometimes the words that come out of my mouth are not what should be coming out. Words of encouragement, but words of discouragement. Sometimes they're not good words at all. And
the Holy Spirit convicts me. He said, Dave, you know, hey, that's not how you're supposed to be. And sometimes I kick against that. I'm so thankful that he does that. I have a long way to go to become a true worshiper. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Conformed is a prescribed pattern or scheme. Do you think this world has an agenda? You better believe it does. And it wants to squeeze you and mold you into what it looks like, not what Christ looks like. Don't let it do that. You say, okay, then how do we keep from being conformed to the image of this world? By that word says, be ye transformed. And that, in fact, we get our English word metamorphosis from it. To be metamorphosed. It's the same word that was used in Matthew of the transfiguration when Christ was metamorphosed. He was transfigured. And he said, "That's don't conform, don't be squeezed in the mold, but metamorphosis." By what? By the renewing of your mind. It's God's Word. God's Word is the instrument the Holy Spirit uses to renew our minds, which in turn He uses to transform our living. It's this Word. The psalmist said, "Thy Word I have hid in my heart that I don't sin against Thee." This is the thing that transforms. We don't feed on the world's garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. That's a true saying. But we're transformed. We're metamorphosed by what? By the Holy Spirit and God's Word. We allow it to transform us. We become true worshipers when we do that. You see, because we all want to know what God's will is for our life, do we not? Look at the last part. If our soul, our mind, our body, and our will must be given to the Lord also, look what, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, when we remember and we respond, and we renew ourselves, we will walk in accordance with God's will in our lives. God's will is perfect. And He has a will and a plan for each and every one of you sitting here today. Did you come to get, or did you come to give? True worship remembers. True worship responds with proper living. True worship renews. We renew our mind. Don't let the world squeeze you in its mold, but be transformed, metamorphosed through God's Word every day. That's worship. That's true worship. How are we worshiping? In the morning, when you step into your job, how are you going to worship? Maybe when you get up in the morning, maybe you're not a morning person. I am. It drives my wife crazy. I get up singing and all, and she could kill me. That's okay. She's not me. You find your way and your purpose, and you bring glory to God. Every day, each day you give us is a grace gift, Lord. He's giving you another grace gift today. He wants you to be a true worshiper. He wants you to come to give. Total transformation is the vehicle that God uses to bring many blessings into people's lives. Total dedication. Giving over a total sacrifice to Him. Have we done that? Do we do that? How are we worshiping? I'm going to ask whoever the musicians to come and Brittany to sing. How's God spoken to you today? Are you a true worshiper? Maybe you're sitting here, and here's the deal. Everybody here is praying for a person maybe that's come in here that knows they don't have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, you might have made a profession of faith or got baptized or whatever you could put in that corner. But you know you don't have a transformed life. You know you're missing it. You know you're not living it. You know you're living in sin. Today, you could be a child of God by receiving Christ is your sacrifice. His sacrifice for your sin, His righteousness added to your life. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way we become a true worshiper. Maybe God's shown you that I've been a fake and a phony. I live one way, work, school. I live another way at church. however God's spoken to you. I'm going to be down front. I'd love to pray with anybody, somebody that's lost. Love to show you the plan of salvation. If God can save me, He can save anybody in this room. I promise you that. I can't believe He can use me to do anything. Where are you at? Are you a true worshiper? Have you been coming to church just to get? Or do you come to church to give? Let's pray and then we'll turn it over. Father, I thank You so very much, Lord. So many times I'm convicted. So many times I'm not all in. Lord, I should be all in every day. 24/7, 365. I want to pray right now. Your Holy Spirit has to quicken a heart that is lost. I want to pray if there's a lost person in this room that You open their eyes that they're lost today. I want to pray maybe for somebody that's struggling, that's living a salad bar mentality when it comes to Christianity. You just pick and choose what you want. I want to pray for that one that's never came to give but always came to get. Whatever You're doing, Lord, I pray You'll do it in our hearts. And I thank You, Lord, for the privilege of Your word. May You be glorified in Christ's name.